Let us turn to the book of Second Kings, chapter 7, and verse 2. The book of Second Kings, chapter 7, and verse 2. The Bible says, "Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God, saying, 'Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?' And Elisha replied, 'Behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it.'" Praise God. The title of the sermon is, "Which Shoulder Are You Leaning On?" Praise God. Which shoulder are you leaning on? Notice if you look carefully at this verse, it says, "A lord on whose hand the king leaned." And right there we see the crux of the problem. The king of Israel was leaning on the hand of a lord. Do you see the picture in your mind's eye? A king leaning on the hand of a subordinate, someone who basically was a lord with a small L. It's basically like saying the president is holding dependent on someone who is not the president and holds that hand, leans on that hand. What a visual message that sends to the people of God, to the nation of God. Who is in charge here? And what is really going on? And you see, the problem is, this person that the Lord, the king, was leaning on was not a man of faith, was not someone who really trusted in God. And so the Bible is making it clear through this formulation, the way this has been presented here, that right here you can see where the problem of the nation of Israel was. So the question to us today is, which hand or which shoulder are we leaning on? Are we leaning on the everlasting arms, as the Bible says, hallelujah, the eternal God, hallelujah, is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is what Moses of old, hallelujah, reminded the children of Israel. The eternal God. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 27. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 27. The eternal God. Say with me, the eternal God is my refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Praise God. He shall thrust out the enemy before thee and shall say, destroy them. Praise God. We are not leaning on human hands. The king was anointed by God, not by some atheistic lord who mocked at the words of the prophet? Are we leaning on people who mock God? People who think that God really is a non-entity. I mean, why do you even believe in God in the 21st century? It is terrible when the King of Israel has such people in his inner circle, and it's even worse. It is a tragedy when such people actually really hold the reins of power? Who really is in charge in your life? That's the question God is asking you today. Jesus should be in charge, and we should be leaning only on the arms of Jesus, the shoulder of Jesus. Praise God. Never let any human being believe that you are dependent on them. Never. Don't surround yourself with such people. Keep them at a distance. Let them know. Like Mordecai, the man of God. He was a captive in a foreign land, in the land of Persia. But he behaved as if God is in charge of the land of Persia. Say amen. Praise God. It doesn't matter where the people of God end up. Are you in a job where you feel like an outsider? Everybody gives you that look. Behave yourself here. You better defer to your seniors, and you better show some civility, some subservience. May the Lord help us to stand tall like Mordecai. We will not bend to the Hamans of this world in Jesus' name. Praise God. Can you say amen? Because the eyes of the Lord move to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. God is looking for such people. He's looking, where is the next Mordecai? But sadly, tragically, the people of Israel, the king of Israel, was a poor example. He put to shame the message of Moses, put to shame the example of David and the great men that were called a part of the nation of Israel, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This king was leaning on a Lord who mocked the prophets. You know that it will never go well if we have people around us, we lean on people who do not believe in the prophets and do not believe in the apostles. May God deliver us from such people, trusting in such people. Amen? Because the word of God is crystal clear. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, if you turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. Let's repeat it again. And are built. We are buildings of God. What is our foundation? Every building has a foundation. Say with me, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. Woe be unto us if we mock the prophets and the apostles. Will a person mock his own foundation? Whatever house you live in, will you hold the foundation of your house in contempt? That is what the king of Israel was doing. So, I've said this thus far to set the stage. Let's go into the message. So let's look at the context of the time that we are dealing with. During the time of the prophet Elisha, Israel was enduring a severe famine. In his desperation for relief, the king sought guidance from the prophet Elisha. That's a good thing he did. So Elijah shared a prophetic message filled with hope. Thank God the king did not go to some sorcerers or witches. He did not consult some diviners. He consulted the man of God. He did well. That was not the problem. The king had faith. But the problem was, faith does not thrive when it leans upon lack of faith. Let me repeat that again. When you have faith, do not lean upon those who don't have faith. Why will you? There's nothing common between you. Faith needs to be nourished. And how is faith nourished? By being with those who have like faith. Amen? A fire does not go to seek fellowship with water. The water will quench the fire. Who do you surround yourself with, Christian? Amen. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because fire, fellowshipping with fire, will only engender more fire. But if fire seeks fellowship with the wrong elements, very soon there will be no fire left. Praise God. I'm speaking to somebody today. God is warning you. Be careful who you're with, who you've become dependent upon. Your faith is too precious to be dependent upon people with no faith. Know the treasure that God gave you from heaven. The fire you have is not earthly. Nearly everything on this earth is a danger to this fire, except fire which comes from heaven. When I'm fellowshipping with you, brother or sister, I'm not just fellowshipping with your flesh. I'm fellowshipping with the fire that came from heaven and is living in you. Hallelujah. Please understand what Christian fellowship is about. That's why when the church and the saints in the church begin to lose the fire, we find that we begin to quarrel with each other. Why? Because now the flesh is fellowshipping with the flesh. God have mercy. Let's remember that the apostles and the disciples in the upper room were told to wait until they received fire from heaven. Praise God. Only when the fire came did they become a church. And then they could leave the upper room. Praise God. We need to know what we are fellowshipping with. Because the fire in you and the fire in me will destroy the power of the flesh. But the fire cannot fellowship with no fire or with water. This king of Israel was so beyond the pale, so to speak, that he didn't care about the message he was basically conveying to the children of Israel. Imagine the king, and there's a severe famine, and you are leaning on the hand of some aristocrat, some baron of something, a blasphemer. No, we love Jesus too much to do that. Praise God. We will stand alone with Jesus if necessary. We've done it before. We will do it again. Praise God. If there is no proper brother or sister or minister to lean on, and we don't lean on each other, we lean on Jesus. Hallelujah. So you can tell that this is the source of the problem. God is telling us in reading the scripture, who are you leaning on? Amen. I am never happy when a human being tells me, you know, I need you. I tell them, you're in trouble. You need Jesus. You don't need me. You don't need anybody. Christians are people who all went to the upper room, received fire from heaven, and left the upper room, and are fellowshipping with each other with that fire. Hallelujah. So nobody should be dependent on anybody. For 40 years, every Israelite had to wake up in the morning, go out, and trust that God has rained down manna from heaven. No one was dependent on anyone for 40 years for food or for money. God taught them for 40 years to look up to heaven. Every day they looked up to heaven. Literally, their help came from heaven. Amen. So there was nothing to actually gain from each other. You see? Because God wants us to know Him personally, individually, intimately. Praise God. Who gave you your manna yesterday? I hope it's Jesus. Who gave you your manna today? I hope it is Jesus. Because the children of Israel learned this lesson. 40 years, He never failed them. There was never a day that God said, I'm sorry, I'm having logistical problems. There's not enough bread in heaven. I'm sorry, but the prince of evil, the Satan, has gobbled up your manna. You know, like the devil, the prince of Persia, who hindered Daniel. You know, he couldn't touch the manna for 40 years. Let us learn to look up to heaven, because His promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. When God answers prayers, no prince of Persia, no prince of Europe or prince of USA or prince of Canada can stop it. It will fall. Your blessing will come. When Elisha spoke and said, tomorrow, tomorrow, everything will be normal. Nobody could stop it. Praise God. Listen to the prophets. Say amen when you read the prophets. Hallelujah. And you will get your blessing. It will come. But we're going to read in the story that that was not the case with the man on whose hand the king was leaning. So the context was, yes, there was a severe famine. It was, in fact, probably the worst famine in Israel's history. And in such a time, you need faith. You need hope. When God allows a famine or problem to come into your life, that's a signal for us to come closer to Him. Not to spend time with unbelievers and blasphemers. We don't need that. Maybe God is punishing His people. Maybe God is sending a signal you need to draw closer to Him. In such times, we need to repent. We need to look around our houses for the leaven. We need to cast out the leaven out of our houses, out of our surroundings. There was leaven near the king, and the king was too blind. He began to depend on this leaven, on this voice of mockery. We don't need mockers when God sends a famine, brothers and sisters. We need humble people. We need people with tears. We need people who go on their knees. We need people who smite themselves on their breasts, to use the King James language. We don't need haughty people full of hubris and arrogance. No. When God is punishing us, the last thing we need is rebellion. You know, who knows if this person, this man, whatever his name was, the Bible doesn't mention his name. It's like God has no respect for him. Maybe he was the cause of the famine. And it was the Lord's time to deal with this problem. Be assured that whatever we are leaning on, the crutches that we are leaning on, if those crutches are not from God, there will come a time when God will take away those crutches. I pray today will be the day that God will take away the crutches we don't need in our lives. Have you seen a person who doesn't need crutches and yet uses crutches? The crutches convince that person, you actually need me. What? I think I'm perfectly healthy. No, no, you think so. But you need to lean on me. There's that famous song, Lean on Me. You know, I don't remember the rest, but some of the words came. You know, when you're in trouble, you know, lean on me. Be careful who we lean on. It's very tempting, isn't it? Sometimes we try to be strong and we just long for somebody to lean on. That strong person, that strong personality. That person who promises, I'll make the country great again. I don't want to talk politics today. But I'll tell you one thing. Even the denominational Christians in Norway are beginning to wake up. And now they are changing sides and warning Christians, we are dealing with false messiahs. No one can make you great again except Jesus. Praise God. Only Jesus can make you kings and priests unto him. Be careful of false messiahs. When Jesus was asked, what is the sign of your coming? He first began with false messiah, false Christs. What's the meaning of Christ? Somebody who is anointed, somebody who has power to usher in the golden age. Isn't that the job of Jesus? Amen. Be careful who you trust in, because the Messiah may turn out to be the Antichrist. That's why I said, doesn't matter. We don't trust any human being, in particular politicians. We look to Jesus, hallelujah. We are the church of the living God. Amen. So, please understand what I'm saying. Because it takes time for people to wake up to the truth. And very often it's very late and a lot of damage has been done. Christians, look to Jesus. All flesh is as grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. But the word of our Lord endures forever. Amen. And then they wonder, they get shocked about what's being said. We are shocked that you believe in human beings. No, God in his mercy has to show us that we have put on crutches when we are not crippled. And Jesus, you know, there are many crutches that Jesus says, throw away those crutches, and the person was never actually crippled in the first place. So many people who are delivered, they're not delivered from physical, what is the term? Physical disablement or disability. They're delivered from mental disability. Amen? Because you're putting on crutches when you don't need crutches. And that's what we've done with human beings. Amen. There's a sociologist by the name of, Irvin Goffman, very famous. He wrote a book called Stigma, How Stigma Works. And you know what he said? The people who have mental crutches, or let's say society puts stigma on them, let's say they're carrying crutches, when they meet each other, they become so comfortable with their crutches that they start to play golf with their crutches because they're so comfortable with it. Are we playing golf with our crutches? God have mercy. We don't need crutches. No human crutches. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's throw away our crutches today in Jesus' name by faith. By crutches, I mean whoever you're trusting. Whether it's like this king who's leaning on this Lord, or Christians believing that a human being is going to make them great again. We don't need that in Jesus' name. We need Jesus. Hallelujah. If Jesus doesn't make us great again, I'm not even interested in being great again, by the way. Well, what does that mean to be great again? I want to be saved. Hallelujah. I want to be delivered from the flesh and sin. I want to be delivered from hating my fellow human being. I want to be delivered from being selfish. I want to be delivered from not caring about the poor. Are you with me? That is to be great in Jesus' name. We are hearing a false gospel, and Christians are clapping for it. God have mercy. Let's pray to go back to the Bible, the words of Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. If somebody doesn't speak the language of loving the neighbor, of taking care of the poor, be careful. That's the spirit of the Antichrist, not the spirit of Christ. Antichrist means they're in place of Christ. They pretend to be Christ. It doesn't mean they're against Christ. They try to supplant Christ. Amen. We need to be very careful in the days we're living in. God will expose. It's a matter of time. Just wait and see. We'll talk about it one day. But now, let's talk about this Lord and Elisha. So, Elisha hears this man speaking. Do you know how terrible the situation was? The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25, the Bible said there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Let me just give you the current value, just to give you an idea of how severe the drought was, how debilitating the drought was. If you price silver at approximately $25 per ounce, an ass's head amounted to about $1,600. Imagine paying $1,600 today for the head of a donkey. Just to eat whatever little meat is there on the head of a donkey. That will give you some idea of how bad things were. And dove's dung, pigeon's dung, was about $100. Imagine. $100 for dove's dung. So the famine was so dire that people resorted to unspeakable measures. Against this backdrop of despair, Elisha delivered a message of hope. Amen. I mean, you've got to be filthy rich to afford to buy the head of a donkey. So can you imagine how terrible the plight of the poor people was? We can't begin to imagine the suffering of the people in those days. So it was in this bleak, depressing scenario that the voice of the prophet spoke. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how desolate the times are, how devastating the state of affairs may be, there's always the voice of the prophet. God has spoken through the prophets. Amen. He has spoken through the prophets. He has spoken through the apostles. Hallelujah. And we know we have that word of hope. That's why the church has never, ever despaired or given up. Because we know that the word of prophecy always shines brightest when the dark, when the night is at its darkest, isn't it? Praise God. So, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 to 21 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Say with me, a sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. When the night is at its darkest, the word of the prophet, the word of the apostles, the word of God will shine its brightest. Praise God. Sometimes the word of God doesn't seem to shine because we think we are living in the day and you don't see the stars during the day. So once it begins to get dark, then you begin to see the stars. And that's what happened in Israel, brothers and sisters. When the situation became dire, when the night of famine descended upon them, it was only then that the word of God shone like a bright, like the bright morning star. Praise God. When we go through problems, let's not begin to jump to conclusions, blame God. No, maybe God was speaking. His word is like the morning star, but we cannot see it because we think we're living in the day. And so, you know what God does? He allows the night to descend. He allows problems to come into our lives. And then we begin to see more brightly, more clearly, the Word of God. And this is what happened in Israel. So, here's this king. He was leaning on the hands of the wrong man. Like I said earlier, perhaps this is the reason why the famine came. God wanted to expose this man. So when Elisha, in the midst of this total, disaster, economic disaster, this was like the Great Depression. People were committing suicide, etc. 1929, the stock market crash in the USA, etc. Horrible things were happening in Israel. And then the voice of prophecy came. Imagine if a prophet popped up during the great stock market crash in the USA, 1920s, and said, tomorrow there will be no inflation. Everything will be back to, as it was before the stock market crashed. I'm sure many people would have laughed. Thankfully, there was only one man who laughed. You know what that means? It tells me there was faith in Israel. Thank God. Say there was faith in Israel. Only one man laughed. Only one man mocked. He said, is God going to open windows in heaven? In other words, Elisha, you must be joking. You know what that tells me again also? That this man truly was hardened. He was like a Pharaoh character. Why do I say that? Because let me remind you, Elisha was quite well known in Israel. He was a very dangerous prophet. He already did many things. He proved his anointing, his call. Nobody joked with Elisha. Do you agree with me? This is the same man who basically, called out some bears to come and to destroy some children. You remember that? That's one of the first things he did. I once preached to young people. I said, imagine, God forbid, if your parents did not teach you to respect people, to respect adults, respect people like Brother Paul, because I'm also bald. You know, they were calling Elisha bald, baldy, baldy. And what happened? I've got a joke about that. I don't mind anybody calling me a baldy, but they were making fun of him because he had no hair. And then he cursed them, and a bear came out and tore them into pieces. You remember this, Cody? Imagine if that had happened to my child. God have mercy. We need to teach our children to behave. Need to teach our children to respect elders. Amen. Especially, you don't know when you're going to be troubling a prophet like Elisha. Amen. So, Elisha was well known. He had a double portion of the anointing of Elijah. And you're going to laugh at such a man? Where have you been, my friend? Which ivory tower? He must have been living, you know, in the palace, and he lost all connection with reality and what's happening in the streets, because Elisha and the prophets were people who were people of the streets. They were the people of the people. Amen. They were there where the rubber met the road, as they say. So this is another danger, brothers and sisters. If we do not have contact with the prophet, if we are not aware of the reputation of the prophets, if we do not read the word of God on a regular basis, it may sound strange to us one day and we begin to laugh, and judgment may come upon us. But if this Lord had followed the news and known who Elisha is, he would not have met the terrible fate that he met. The other day on my way to work, I was hearing the book of Ezekiel. And it's been a while, I have to say, since I read the book of Ezekiel. And I was shocked and I was saying, oh my goodness. This man truly was exposed to some amazing things and some things which for the modern ear can sound incredible. What? Did God tell this man to actually eat his food with human dung? You know, I just something in me like jumped in the car, I said, when I heard it. And he said, no, Lord, I've never eaten any unclean, anything unclean. The Lord said, okay, I've given you cow's dung to eat your food with. Because that's the message he's going to give the people of Israel when they come to see this holy man of God defiling himself. How many days did he have to lie on one side and almost more than a year and then the other side? Thank God I was not called to be the prophet as Ezekiel. That's a tough calling. He's seen the glory of God as a wheel within a wheel by the river Chebar. God grabbed him by the hand, took him in the heat of the Spirit to Israel. He saw amazing things. This is our foundation, brothers and sisters. Amen. I'm speaking to you not about something strange. We are built on the foundation of the prophet. Say amen. That's why you need to read Ezekiel. You need to read Isaiah. You need to read. What did Jesus say? Well, did Isaiah say about you people? As it was written in the prophet Isaiah. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus continually opened from the prophets. He showed them the Psalms, the things written about himself. Thank God for the prophets. Thank God for you who call your children Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Praise God. And Daniel. Hallelujah. It's a good way to remember your to honor the prophets, praise God. And so what we're dealing with in this message is somebody who didn't honor the prophets. We don't know where the guy was living. When Elisha spoke, everybody must have said, amen, except this guy. Shall God open windows in heaven? I beg you, brothers and sisters, no matter how advanced you become, may you become advanced. No matter how intelligent you become, may you be intelligent. No matter how rich you become, may you be rich. I hope whenever you hear the words of the prophet, something in you, hallelujah, says amen. God bless the prophets. When I was hearing Ezekiel, I kept saying, Amen. Every scripture, Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe the prophets. I believe the apostles. To say Amen will bless you. Those who said Amen, they experienced what Elisha said. Do you think a person who doesn't believe in the prophets is going to see what the prophets spoke about? Amen. If a person didn't believe that a virgin will be with child, they shall call his name Emmanuel. And they were living at that time. I don't believe that they ever saw the Lord Jesus. If a person cannot believe Isaiah 9, verse 6, the son, the child shall be called Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, then how will they believe when Jesus said, Have I been so long time with you? And hast thou not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. If you don't believe Isaiah, how are you going to believe Jesus? What about the millennium that is coming soon? Isaiah spoke about the lion lying with the lamb. If you read it and laugh, you will never see the 1,000 years, the millennium. Zechariah said his feet will land on the Mount of Olives, and the mount will cleave in two. Say amen, hallelujah. Say, I'm excited, I'm going to see it. Or we will never see it. That's the message from 2 Kings. The person who laughs at the prophets will cry in hell forever. But the person who bows his or her head and says, Amen. Maranatha, Jesus, so be it, my God. This is my hope. This is my treasure. This is my yearning, my longing. How can you believe in these things about a world, about streets of gold and, a sea of glass and one sitting on the throne? Because it's written in this book called the Bible. This is the telescope. This is the microscope that actually gives you a glimpse into that world, praise God. The spectacles you put on to see that world is called the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about your faith. When I ask you, how are you, brother? How are you, sister? I'm asking about how is your faith in Jesus? How is your spiritual health? Physical health? It goes up and down. The earth is unstable, and so we borrowed this body from the earth, and that's why it's unstable. The dust is always unstable, but the spirit is from God. It has to return back to God. It will give an account of how it lived on this earth to God. Amen. Take care of your spirit. Put more energy on the maintenance of your spirit and less on your flesh, praise God. And all will be well with your soul. Amen. 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 Praise God. And this is what God is saying in this story to us. Don't worry about the famines of this earth. Don't worry about what we shall eat, what we shall put on. The Gentiles worry about these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. So let's go back to our story. The officer mocked, and now mockery always has consequences. In the same way that faith also releases some consequences. Amen. This man denied the possibility of divine miracles. Leaning on the king represented his trust in human authority and systems rather than in God. And God is the ultimate source of provision. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides miraculously. Let us never stop believing that, brothers and sisters. Are you experiencing very difficult financial problems? You're not alone. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Say, I still believe in that scripture, Brother Paul. Amen. Isn't he rich beyond imagination? Did he not create everything that is there in this world today? The cattle is mine, the silver is mine. Why do we always sin against our Lord Jesus when it comes to our financial needs? If we're honest, every Christian sins in this area. We worry. You know what worry is? Worry is the flesh's way of telling you that you no longer believe in the power of God. I'm telling you the truth. It's harsh. That's why Jesus said, why do you worry? Stop worrying. Some time ago, I rebuked my worry. I said, listen, I haven't become an unbeliever yet. So I bind you in the name of Jesus. But I bind the but in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Peace that passes all understanding. Come in Jesus' name. You know, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard. That's what I need, two guards who are called the peace of God. So when worry comes, they'll chase it away. They'll spear the worry in Jesus' name. May God put up guards of peace around you to fight the arrows of worry, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Because worry is bad. Worry is horrible. Worry is the enemy of our sleep. It's the enemy of everything. Of your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health. Worry is our enemy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. May the peace of God that passes all understanding be sentinels, amen, protecting you from these worries in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God did not make us to worry. He made us to commune with Him, to love Him, to live in peace with Him. Hallelujah. So, let's return to the Lord who mocked Elisha. You see, this man represents the strong man that is coming to our houses, the strong man that somehow is now. Has replaced faith in God, has supplanted the things of God, and you are leaning on him. But the king should not be leaning on this guy. So the prophet came, the word of God came. Why? Because the word of God has power. Elisha has power to bind the strong man in Jesus' name. And I'm saying to you by faith in Jesus' name. Through this message, if you believe, allow me to play the role of Elisha today. Whatever the strong man is that has been troubling you, and you've become too weak to fight him, and you are leaning on this strong man, I bind that strong man in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that strong man in the name of Jesus. Out of your house, out of your mind, out of your life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because after the prophet spoke, the next day, that strong man was dead. Dead. You know who killed him? Israel killed him. Say, Israel trample upon him. The nation of God, hallelujah. The kingdom of God. Praise God. Because he weakened the whole nation by spreading his blasphemies. And so God allowed the nation of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to trample upon him. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. May the church trample upon the strong man in Jesus. So we no longer have to hear his blasphemy. We no longer have to be dependent on him. You know, sometimes you lean upon somebody and you despise him. Why? Because you're not despising him. You are despising your own weakness. I'm so mad at myself for having to. And then you meet the person. And then you bow down to them I'm sorry to say, but I'm trying to keep politics out of this. Forgive me, I'm a human being. I've seen some leaders going to the White House, and I couldn't bear to see them groveling, and I just switched off the TV. Trust in God. Why do you grovel before a human being? We know you don't love what you're doing. We know this is all a farce. What a shame for your nation. Trust in the God of heaven and earth. Hallelujah, amen. Go to him. Don't be afraid of humans. Stand for the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, these nations have no more faith in God. Somebody tells them, I'm going to put a 10% tariff, and then they freak out and they come running and they basically polish his shoes. What? Where is your faith? Where is the faith of Esther? Stand in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, we'll declare a fast. We have a God in this country. His name is Jesus. We will look to him. We won't allow anybody to bully us in Jesus' name. Praise God. What's happened to Europe? Since when do we reward bullies? Never in Jesus' name. So, may God, hallelujah, I feel sorry for Europe. It's now they're being exposed. They've been leaning on the wrong hand for too long. And now Germany is saying we need to be independent. Really? I thought you were independent. You see what happens when you lean on human hands? What's the song we used to sing? Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. May God make us all independent. Amen. Independent of everyone except Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Mordecai did not bow to anybody because he already bows to his one God. I have two knees which are dedicated to Jesus. They do not bow to anybody else. You have to force me. I won't do it willingly. Amen. It only bows down to Jesus. Praise God. So, please don't misunderstand. I pray for the leader of the USA, President Trump. We have no enemy. We love everyone. People lay hands on him and pray in Jesus' name. He needs Jesus. We need to pray for him. The Bible says, pray for those who are in authority. We love him. We pray for him. May God guide him. But he has to understand, and everybody has to understand, there is a God in heaven who is above you. Amen. Fear God. Read the Bible. God tells us what to do, what pleases him. Love the poor. If you surround yourself with multi-billionaires, it tells me immediately you're not serious with Jesus. Take care of the poor. That's why they put you in power. Amen. Take care of everyone. Love your neighbor as yourself. Every human being is precious, so precious that Jesus came and died for them. He died for the Mexican. He died for the African American. He died for the gay and the lesbian. He died for everybody. Amen. Am I? What happened to the gospel? What gospel do we believe in? He came to die for sinners. We are all sinners. Amen. We need to pray, brothers and sisters, because the world is misunderstanding Christianity. And if Christians are quiet now and they allow the gospel to be hijacked, people will hate Christianity tomorrow if we support this kind of Christianity. I've said it from the beginning. I will never stop saying it. Amen. Because I've never feared anybody except Jesus. Praise God. And we are not interested. You cannot bribe us. You cannot threaten us. No. Amen. So listen. Who knows where this message may go? I have many listeners who here come from the USA. And we are not here to please anybody. We are not here to make anybody like us. Never. We want Jesus to be pleased. Amen. pray for the politics of this day, because if we don't, if we are quiet, it will come back to haunt us. Let's stand up now and say, this is not in the name of Jesus. Jesus loves the poor. Jesus loves the downtrodden. Jesus loves the many who are outsiders, who have been otherized, who've been demonized, who've been hated. Jesus spent time with these people. Jesus was never rude. He said, if you call your brother a fool, raka, you're in danger of hell judgment. And we are thinking it's okay, the language we're hearing. Imagine. I have students at the university who tell me we're surprised we never heard you ever use a bad word. And I said, is it normal that other teachers, professors, and lecturers are using bad words? I'm shocked. Because my God taught me to love everybody, even the people I strongly disagree with. I will never, call them dirty words, foolish, words. So we are not perfect. Don't misunderstand. But what we are saying is there's confusion in the times we live in. This is the time to be a Christian, stand up and be counted and say, thus saith the Lord. It is still written in the Bible. Amen. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Hallelujah. Amen. Otherwise, I have a problem with that Christianity. Amen. Praise God. God called us to love one another, even though we may strongly disagree with one another. Jesus taught me to be humble, to say sorry. Amen. Because of him. This is the Christianity we've been taught. Praise God. So coming back, let me not digress too far. I've already lost many hearers, maybe, or later at this point they will have stopped the recording. But listen, Jesus will always win. People come and go, the word of God is forever. God will show whether we are on his side or not. I always say time, time is on God's side. Praise God. So Elisha's prophecy would soon be manifest. Amen. What happened? In 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 17, we read the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned. Notice the Bible doesn't forget. The king may have forgotten that he leaned on this man's hand, but God never forgets. It keeps repeating it. The king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge over the gate. Didn't I tell you that this man was a strong man? He was in charge. We humans love a strong man, isn't it? We're addicted to strong men. Oh, just look at him. That's my leader. That's my president. Really? What about Jesus? The Bible says about Jesus, when you read the book of Isaiah, that he was not a man of beauty. He didn't seem to be anybody special. And that's actually why we did not esteem him. So I don't know what kind of leader we are looking for, but when our Jesus came, it says in Isaiah 53, verse 2, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. Amen. No form, no comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. That's our leader. Praise God. Are you with me? Praise God. That's my duty, to take us back to the Bible. When Christianity is being seduced by so-called strongmen, we look at them and say, surely the Lord's anointed. Be careful. It won't end well. God's anointed is humble. God's anointed was despised. God's anointed was somebody we were ashamed to say he's our leader. Amen. Praise God. I know any church I would have preached this, people would be quiet. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the gospel. It's not about popularity. It's about the truth. Say the truth. We love the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth is never popular. Praise God. That's why many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. My Jesus was not somebody you would have looked at and said, this is a leader. Oh, please come and meet my leader. Most people are ashamed. That's why Judas had to kiss him. Just to make it clear, actually, this guy is the leader. It doesn't look like it, but believe me, he's the leader. Amen. Praise God. I hope you're understanding. I can assure you one thing which is interesting is when I prepared this message, I did not have politics in mind. In fact, you can ask the church when I preached this last week, politics was not in it. But now God is saying something. He's putting it in here. He's warning his people to be careful because there's nothing worse than deception. When we lean on the wrong people, we end up being pierced by what we are leaning on. Amen. So especially when it's not from God. Let me remind you, our God is a God of what I call heavenly economics. He fed the 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He commanded the apostles, give them something to eat, multiplying seemingly insufficient resources is nothing for our God. Multiply, Jesus. Do you have insufficient resources? May the Lord multiply it. Praise God. May the Lord multiply it. Can you afford only 1 loaf of bread? May the Lord make it 10 loaves of bread. Can you afford just one a carton of milk? May the Lord multiply it to be 20. Praise God. That's not a problem for him. This testament of divine provision stands in contrast to the worldly economic uncertainty that we live in. Trust the Lord with your money. Consider Judas Iscariot. Have you thought about it? You know, it hit me that Judas was always robbing from the ministry of Jesus. But did you ever read in the Bible that Jesus could not do the ministry because he didn't have enough money because Judas was robbing? Isn't that amazing? Is Judas stupid? He was stupid for sure. If you could use such a word on somebody. Was he not there to see Jesus pay the taxes miraculously, go and catch a fish, open its mouth, pay our taxes? Jesus can multiply money, find money in places you can't imagine. And Judas is robbing money from the purse, and the Lord knows it. The Lord is looking at him. And the Lord must have been multiplying what he's robbing because Jesus kept on doing his ministry. Jesus never said, I don't have enough money. By the way, I wonder where the money is going. Hallelujah. Let's have another accountant to follow with Judas. He is Jehovah Jireh. Say the God who multiplies. Can we believe that our God can bless our economy? He can fill our accounts. Amen. Praise God. Let's have faith. Let's just do his work as he gives opportunity. And the Lord will bless the finances. The Lord will make things possible. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so he remembered Israel. And you know what? When God opens the windows of heaven, he truly opened the windows of heaven. He actually made windows in heaven. It rained so powerfully that the people trampled over this guy. Because he probably was in shock. He couldn't believe it. Because had he run with the people to enjoy the blessing, he would not be trampled upon. But he was in disbelief. He was stunned. I pray you have faith in the Lord. If we don't have faith in the things of God, let us not try to go to Christians and tell them, lean on me. It won't end well. Despite his greed, God's work continued remarkably, praise God. I'm sure this man too must have been corrupt, but God's work will never be hindered by corruption. His ministry is not dependent on human resources, but on the infinite supply of God. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to conclude by saying the opposite of this Lord on whose hand the king leaned is the young apostle John, perhaps 17 years old. He leaned on Jesus's chest. Praise God. Isn't that a beautiful contrast? That's how we should be living, leaning on the chest of Jesus. It was in that posture that he found true security, comfort, and revelation that comes from intimacy with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Rather than leaning on human frailty, John relied on divine wisdom. Hallelujah. As we navigate today's tumultuous world, there's political upheaval, economic challenges, and social turmoil. We must ask ourselves the question, who are we leaning on? On whose hand am I leaning? Whose chest am I leaning? Amen. Those who trust in God's promises will experience blessings, while those who lean on human authority will miss out on the promises of God. The Lord was trampled. He died in the most undignified way, and he basically, probably his limbs were torn apart. He died in judgment. Faith is essential in this life. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was by faith the elders obtained a good report. We need a good report in heaven. Make sure you're leaning on the right hand. The officer's skepticism created a barrier that prevented him from experiencing the miracle firsthand. Faith allows us to rise above our immediate circumstances and trust in God's provision, even when challenges abound around us. In today's world, everything tells us rely on visible things, yeah? Insurance companies. You need life insurance. You need this insurance. You need an insurance for everything. You know, if you take a loan, they even tell you, you need an insurance for that loan. You're already taking a big risk. So you need to secure that risk. Today's culture wants us to trust in visible outcomes and structures and concrete evidence. Like this king who's relying on this officer. But now, on whose hand is he going to lean? God calls us to be a community of believers who trust only in Jesus. See, only one God. I'm leaning on only one God. I'm not leaning on three persons in the Trinity because they don't exist. I do not lean on shadows. I lean on the one God who was manifested in the flesh, whose name is Jesus. I lean on that one God of whom Paul said, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. I lean on that one God of whom Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God, the one God, was manifest in the flesh. I do not lean on a trinity because I don't lean on shadows. We don't lean on a chimera, something that is just air, doesn't exist. Say we lean on Jesus. Amen. The one who said, come to Thomas, Put your fingers in my hand, in my sides. He's not a ghost. He's real. He has a real body. Amen. John was not leaning on a spirit. He's leaning on that flesh. But in that flesh is the Spirit of God. Our God is real. Say, my God is real. You can touch him. John said of the word which was from the beginning, whom our hands have handled, praise God. This is our God. You may not see him, but make no mistake, he is real. He can show himself here. He doesn't need to come through doors and walls. He doesn't need you for you to open the door for him to come, and he can come through the walls. But still, his flesh is real, praise God. Because that flesh is not the kind of flesh that follows the properties of this world. And yet it is real flesh. Are you with me? It walks on the water. It can come through the wall. But don't make a mistake. Don't say it's spirit. No, it's real flesh. It gave real blood. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. The word was made flesh. Real flesh. This is the God upon whom we lean. Praise God. Amen. This is our God. We love him. We will make sure that we will not lean on anyone who tries to supplant him or replace, because that will be the Antichrist. Praise God. Hallelujah. Abraham believed in hope against all hope. He obtained the promise despite his old age, serving as an example for us to reflect on our own reliance. Are we leaning on worldly understanding? Or are we embracing God's boundless potential? Hallelujah. Let us be careful, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For this Lord, upon whose hand the king leaned, the preaching of Elisha was foolishness. And that's why he died a horrible death. But we are leaning on Jesus. He is the foundation of our faith. We cannot lean on the shoulders of the government. We do not lean on societal norms, human wisdom. But we are resting secure, embracing Christ, trusting his word. Hallelujah. Let inflation rise. Let the price of eggs keep going up. We will remain steadfast in our faith. We base our lives on the word of God. Because once you trust the words of Elisha, bread became plentiful again. The price of eggs became normal again, so to speak, because of the prophecy of the prophet. It's not kings and presidents who bring down the price of eggs. It's the God of heaven, praise God. Let us strive to emulate John. Let us rest in Christ. Let us be doers of the word, not just hearers deceiving ourselves. Let everyone see that our faith is not based on any human system or human, but it's in the God of heaven. Let me conclude by saying, who or what are you leaning on today? Trust in the word of the Lord. You will not only witness miracles, but also partake in the abundance that flows from him. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you, guide you with his word, and grant you the security and strength that comes from leaning on the one and only God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message. You are challenging us because you love your people, and you don't want us to be led astray by the enticements and seductions of the rhetoric of politicians and economists and all sorts of people, lords, so-called lords, who want us to lean upon their hands. No, Lord, we lean on the everlasting God. The eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Your people are gathered here from different parts of the world. The economies are different. These are turbulent times. People are putting their hope in politicians. But Lord, we will remember you in times of peace and in times of war and in times of uncertainty and in times of peace. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will give us the spirit of discernment that we so desperately need in these times of deception, these times where the church is looking for answers and they're being tempted to look beyond your word, traveling beyond the Star of Bethlehem. Bring your people back to their foundation. Their foundation is the prophets and it's the apostles. I pray that we will rest upon your chest, upon your breast, as the apostle John did. For there we shall be secure from the storm upon the Sea of the Galilee, upon the storms of life, Jesus. We rest in you, but we also are reminded to pray for those in power, those who have authority, because it is you who allowed them to come in those positions. I pray they will fear you. I pray that they will humble themselves and seek your face, as Joseph did, as Daniel did, and the land was blessed because of them. We commit every soul into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name that you will alleviate the situation of your people. Speak the word of blessing and abundance. I pray that you will provide miraculously for your people, and not only for your people. You are the God who loves everyone. You cause the sun to shine upon unbelievers, those who do not believe in you. You give them your rain. So we will not only pray for Christians to receive material blessings, but everyone, especially the poor, Jesus. For their sakes, Jesus, change the economic situation. All this we pray in the name of the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We bless you abundantly. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for guiding us, leading us, for reproving and rebuking us. But through everything, we thank you that you are our Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We will never try to change you, because that is impossible. But change us, Jesus. Work on us, Jesus. Correct us, Jesus. And we will bless you for it. All this we ask in the name of the God of the universe, whose name is Jesus. And the church says, amen, amen, amen. Jesus bless you abundantly. I yield the mic to Brother.